Welcome, my friends, to what I believe this is episode number 77 of the Dan Time Podcast. But I got to be honest with you, the man that I'm welcoming back to the show today, to me, it might be the most fascinating guest that I've had to date. If we just break it down to the singer-songwriters, if I was a small child, I would be doing cartwheels right now. That's how excited I am to have Mr. Dan Brody back on the show. Depending on when this is released, it may be January 1st or 2nd, which would be exactly a year since his first appearance on episode 20, I think it was 21, Dan. It's great to have you back. Melbourne, Australia's very own Dan Brody, two-time ARIE Award nominee and a true gentleman. How are you doing, Dan?
I'm good. Thank you for the introduction, Dan. Very kind of you. I'm great. It's warming up here in Melbourne, so it's good. It's a good time of year.
Yeah, I believe last time, obviously, when we talked, it's wintertime here in the States and summertime where you're from. Dan, I got to tell you, in the 12 months that has transpired, your catalog has been a mainstay in my rotation, whether I'm listening to Deep, Deep Love, The Ballad of Cowboy Dan, the 2023 release, any number of songs, and then requests from my children, Dan. It has been a fun ride. I hope that people, and there's probably some people listening tonight, today, or whenever you're listening, that you didn't know there was a part one, a first installment here, a big introduction for Dan Brody, and a bio on his career. So if you missed the first episode, maybe go back and check that one out. But a lot of flavor in the Dan Brody catalog from where it started way back in, I guess, the first release in 2001, almost 25 years ago, to where we are now. And you could really dive in at any spot and find what works for you. And then if you're like me, you're going to discover that some of the textures in the catalog that you think are not really in your wheelhouse will all of a sudden become very near and dear to you and speak to your longings, your memories. I'm rambling here, Dan, and I do a good or bad job of this, depending on who you ask, but...
Keep going.
I remember at the end of the episode, when we first recorded, you gave a little bit of a sneak peek, a teaser to the music that was coming out at the end of this year, 2024, beginning with Love for a Cruel Beauty, October 15th, and most recently the single Everything Apart from Her. And I understand that if you look at the Ballad of Cowboy Dan songs in that time period, some of this material was written kind of around the same time. And can you talk about where these songs fell in that songwriting process, how you decided to set those off to the side for a new project?
Yeah, you know, thank you. Yeah, I didn't realize I'd spoken about it last time, but that's good. It's taken a while to get them out. I just did a review of my lyric and journals this morning, and I tried to find some mention of them, but there's nothing. So it's strange that there's no mention of them at all. So I think it must have been a coping mechanism to deal with our 300 days in lockdown here in Melbourne, and as some form of therapy. But it's interesting that, there's nothing in my journals. So I think I'd just done it on computer. And I have no idea why I decided to record it either, as opposed to release it as a book, which I probably will do anyway. I think that I was writing to cope with being incarcerated in my house with a 5-kilometer limit.
Yeah, Dan, I was listening to, and I recommend my listeners check out this episode because it's a track-by-track rundown of The Ballad of Cowboy Dan, the album. This is, and this one's introduced by ... or Ellipsis, available wherever you listen to podcasts. Check that one out.
Oh, yeah.
But I know you described that record, the album came to you, I guess a lot of what was running through your head while you were making laps around your house. It's fun, I guess. Yeah. You can laugh at it now, but wow.
Yeah, it was a funny time, I suppose. You know, I was fortunate to have some family around me. You know, it's been very difficult for people living by themselves. You know, it was what it was, but I'm glad I got something out of it. And I was just writing stories about my life, and the stories became more like rants or raves or lyrics or something. I'm not exactly sure what it is. You know, I actually looked up sort of what spoken word was before I released the first single, Love for a Cruel Beauty, and I couldn't really find anything like it. So that's a good thing. I'm going to approach each track in its own entity. Some stuff will have music and some won't. So it's really exciting for me, and it feels really freeing not having chords and verses to worry about. But I still see, I don't really see it as poetry. I see it as lyrics without music, if you will.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about the first single or the most recent single and then backtrack a little bit. Everything Apart from Her. I always hope that my analysis doesn't sound too trite, because I'm not a music critic, but I've only spent a few days with this song, but it's a song you can listen to over and over. I find it to be very soothing.
Oh, good.
It's a very, it speaks to the sweetness of those human relationships, whether if you're at a younger age or you're a middle age or advanced age, somebody connects with this and it takes them right back to, I mean, the second verse. She used to hang her leg over mine under the table in Myers Place, drinking long necks. I like your eyebrows and your voice like syrup. Like my lyrics sometimes. Keep going, she said. Don't stop now. Just fantastic stuff, Dan.
Thank you.
If you're a hopeless romantic, you're going to fall to pieces. If you're a human being, you're going to be touched as well. And like I said, soothing is what comes to mind. If your life is shooting in so many different directions, put this song on and let your thoughts just settle into what he's describing here.
I saw the girl recently that those lines were written about, so I don't know what she'd have to say about it. I haven't asked her.
And who is the female voice on this song?
Oh, yeah, that's a girl called Monique Webb, and we were spending some time together over lockdown. We worked together, and I drafted her in to add her voice. I thought it would be nice to have some more texture on there. And, you know, female voice is very soothing to the ear, and almost like that I can give voice to, say, any female characters that I wrote about. Yeah, and, you know, she did a great job. I haven't seen her for a long time, but I hope that she likes it. I sent something to her recently. But, yeah, you know, she found it very, very challenging. She's dyslexic and had never done anything like that before, but, you know, like with the arts, with music or creativity, you know, it's often good to find people that aren't directly related to things or practicing things. I think that every one of us has a strong capacity for creativity. Some people get the opportunity and some people don't. And some people probably don't realize that they have it inside them. It's just, I guess, people who mark themselves as artists that, you know, and have a level of ambition, I suppose, to push it onto the unsuspecting public.
Dan, that must be exciting for you when you see a quality in someone else that, and you tap them to be a part of maybe one track. And do you have people that sit there and maybe say, oh, Dan, I don't know, I appreciate it, I'm flattered, but you want me to do this? Does that happen?
Yeah, it does. It does happen. And, you know, like, you know, you get disappointed, but that's all part of it. But, you know, people ask me to do things that I don't always do either. You know, you've got to follow your own calling, your own path. But it's fantastic when they say yes. And, yeah, I think it, you know, maybe a more seasoned performer, yeah, mightn't have the same, I don't know what the word is, normalcy, you know, sure. The everyday person about it. I mean, it really does sound like I've kind of grabbed her from the street, but maybe people don't hear that.
I can imagine that you're maybe also excited to see what comes out when you roll the dice with somebody like that.
Exactly.
You can make catch magic.
Yeah, you might. Yeah. Over lockdown, I watched this incredible movie, My Dinner with Andre. I don't know if you've seen that. And it's two guys talking for 2 hours. They're having dinner together. I think it's about 1981. I forgot the name of the actors. They're New York actors. They're both still alive. And it's so, so touching. They did these monologues. I think that was quite influential on me. I was sitting there just so touched by it. You know, there was not a lot. In fact, pretty much nothing else happened in the movie. The waiter came occasionally and served them. And it seemed so off the cuff. But when I read about it, they learnt these monologues that went for, you know, one camera, maybe three different cuts in the camera. They made it look like one, but they learnt half an hour monologues. I mean, that is, you know, amazing. I think that's, you know, and it's only actually with you interviewing me that I just thought of that movie. I thought, oh, I remember sitting there going, wow, that's incredible. And real life is so much more interesting than all the answers are in real life. People don't even see it, but, you
that's
know,
right.
Some people see it. Yeah. Truth is stranger than fiction. You know, whenever you hear some messed up crime story, usually from the States.
That's right.
Usually in Florida.
We can't hide from that reputation, yeah.
What is it? The heat and the water. What are they called? The Everglades. Yeah.
Yes, I think the heat has a lot to do with it.
Yeah. I think the heat attracts a certain kind of person, you know, to the water. And
right.
Yeah.
Then you mix in the drinking and drugging and ex-girlfriends.
Yeah. Mother-in-laws.
Right.
There's always someone getting, you know, thrown into the crocs.
That's right.
You know, whenever you read these stories, you're like, my goodness, like, I can't believe that's real. And yeah, that's where all the stuff is. And that's an extreme example. But people sitting down and having dinner, you know, the awkward pauses that, I guess a lot of movies sometimes don't really show the crosstalk, and people don't answer immediately either. They, you know, they ruminate and they think, and particularly if you're involved romantically with someone and it's a tough conversation. So I think that's pretty good to explore that type of thing.
I mean, yeah, like where you say, I like your eyebrows, that's probably a moment where, and she could be deep in thought, she's reflecting, thinking about what she wants to say. And if you're sitting outside, you maybe see her hair blowing.
Yeah.
The light shining a certain way. And so you notice those other features about that person.
It's a lot less James Cameron's Titanic, for example.
Dan, at the very end, I just think this is so powerful. I'm basically talking about, we're only here for a short time. Let's enjoy our, whether it's love or infatuation or just these moments with people, till our blood has dried, till all signs of life have departed. This is the forever and ever. What, I want to stay with you forever. And she's questioning, really, forever and ever? Forever, ever. Till our blood has dried, till all signs of life have departed, till we're iced over again. Another ice age? Or that may be mean something different. And then closing with, till all the cells of our existence have returned to the atmosphere and become oxygen for some new lovers to breathe. That really hit me.
Oh, good.
That's kind of the one where the way it closes is, for me, is why you want to restart the song. I'm not always a repeat as far as I want to move on to the next song and explore some more, but sometimes I want to hear that song over two or three times in a row.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. I guess there's an inherent sadness to life in that it has to end. And, you know, and it's also the beauty of life is that it has to end. And, you know, I'm constantly thinking about, I think most people are, if they've got, or maybe they're not, I don't know. Maybe just enjoying, you know, going to watch football each week, which is possible.
Yeah.
Not to say that, enjoy that, but I think this dual thing that's running through our head at all times could quite easily drive you crazy. So, yeah, I see it as both a joy and sadness. And that's, you know, there's a bittersweet aspect to what we're doing here, I guess, which is very interesting to me. You know, and, yeah, the girl, the character in it, she questions it, you know, and about the eyebrows, she kind of questions that as well, you know. So, you know, the narrator perhaps is a little swept up or a little unreliable, who knows.
I mentioned at the top of the episode here, I really have a strong affinity for the Deep, Deep Love album. I keep coming back to that. I love the title track, and I wanted to get your thoughts on the closing track and how it, I see a little bit of a connection. I don't know if it's a precursor to some of these new singles, but the song I Was Thinking of You, a little bit of a connection here, a bridge to some of these new singles.
I hadn't thought of that, but yeah, I mean, possibly I think that we have these themes that preoccupy us, and they keep coming up until they're explored to the full amount that you want to explore them, I suppose. So yeah, maybe, but I mean, that one was quite a long time ago, so that's, you know, I guess a 20-year gestation period. I haven't thought about that album much. I only play one song from it live, which is called Terrace Down. But I do like that record, and I should look at it, you know, some more.
Yeah, Terrace Down, I mentioned on our first conversation, that's one of my favorite songs from your catalog.
Thank you.
I go back to that one at least every couple months.
Oh, cool.
You can revisit it when the feeling strikes you, the day strikes you, and you just think, I need to hear that song again today. Is it hard for you to go back to pieces of your catalog where you wrote it maybe in a time of strife or struggle? And do you sometimes want to just move on from certain songs, or how do you feel about?
Yes, it is. But I feel that it's important, particularly in a live setting, to give a bit of love to your audience and to yourself, and not be too hard on yourself about, you know, the thing is that you assume that everyone in the audience is looking at you going, wow, what's that? Like, that line doesn't even make any sense now to this older guy or something. But I don't think all that when I'm watching a band. I just think, wow, that's a great song, and I'm feeling this way. So yeah. It's good to find ways into your old back catalog, but it's a challenge. It's definitely a challenge, because you feel, yeah, you often feel a bit stupid singing stuff that meant something to you 20 years ago. And you're very much a different person. And but I think you need to. I think it's a bit nasty to your audience, just to, you know. Yeah. I wouldn't like it. I don't need to hear Piano Man, but you know, at least play Allentown.
Yeah. <I don't know. laughs> One thing I noticed, Dan, and tell me if I'm onto something here, but trying to wrap up on Everything Apart From Her.
Oh yeah.
Your vocal delivery, I just feel like, okay, Dan sounds, he just sounds good. He sounds like he's feeling well. This sounds like kind of a reinvigorated Dan Brody. There's some songs from the back catalog that I really like, but I can just sense something that this is from a darker period. a little bit. And is there any, am I reading too much into that?
Possibly. I mean, the new stuff was done about three years ago, recorded, I think. I'm not exactly sure. But, I mean, I suppose I've, you know, gotten older, gotten a wider perspective on the world and myself. And, yeah, that's a hard question to answer, I suppose. I mean, I personally really enjoy getting older, yeah, and getting a wider view.
I feel like you and I connect on that end.
Yeah.
Aging into our 40s. One of my favorite comments you had on the first episode was speaking to drinking after 40 years old. You quipped that, I don't think you can do it very effectively, to be honest, something like that. It's just, your body doesn't really appreciate it anymore. It's like,
no, it doesn't. And I'm still off alcohol. It's been 3.5 years now. And it's a really, really proud achievement. And when I was looking at my journals from the last 10 years this morning, there was many, many attempts from many, many times to stop. But I always felt, yeah, I never reacted very well to it. But I think, you know, the mythology of being a musician, rock and roll lifestyle, all that shit, and society. I mean, you know, Australia is a very alcohol soaked environment. Yeah, it's massive over here. It's at every single social thing, and there's a real social acceptance of it. And you know, I just don't buy that anymore. So I really love being sober, and I love creating, getting to the core of what I enjoy doing. So, yeah. So that's been really good.
That's great to hear, Dan. I think if would you agree, if you're a creative mind, that being sober, and I really don't want to discourage anybody if they enjoy a drink and if everything's fine. I certainly don't preach to anybody, but when you start your day, do you find you have more clarity about what you want to put down on paper, or is there more of an excitement or energy behind what you're doing?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I love getting up, and, you know, I start pretty early with creative things pretty much as soon as I get up, so like 6 or 7 a.m. and yeah, I really love it. Yeah, I don't have time for hangovers or anything, or even to feel crap. I mean, I just, you know, I did that for so long. There's nothing, what I find, I don't know if I said this last time, but what I find really interesting about not drinking is that the world is wide open to you, and it's go anywhere. Whereas drugs and drinking to me have a set path that you're going to go down.
Right. They have a way of confining you.
Yeah.
Either in a physical space, or you just have to be around certain people or places or things to ensure that you're going to have that.
It's being around certain people.
Yep.
Yeah, it is. You have to tolerate a lot. The drugs and alcohol thing, I mean, I don't want to be a preachy guy. I'm not, and I hope it's not coming across like that. I'm talking particularly personally for my own thing, and I have no problem at all with people drinking around me, and I love socializing. I love, you know, as a musician, you sort of have to. It's such a massive part of playing live. You know, most of it is sitting around speaking shit for hours, and then you play the gig, and you've got to like people, and I like people, but I'm just not out till 3 a.m. anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
I can see as a performer, if people are having a great time, that's what you're there for.
Yeah, you are.
You've got your body, how you want to handle it. And if they're having, doing what they want to do. This thought always occurred to me when I was in my 20s or 30s and were just some hard drinking periods. And I would think, you know, nobody gets to have that hangover for you. You don't ask your buddy, hey, could you could you deal with this for me tomorrow? So if they're willing to do that, so people can power through.
Yeah.
Dan, did you know that you wanted to do more spoken word tracks several years ago? Was this more recent? And no, I say several more, going back to like 2020, but any time prior?
No. In fact, I think if someone had have said that to me 10 years ago, I would have been probably a bit aghast. You know, and it's taken quite a lot for me to release these because, I mean, I don't want to give too much away, but I'm giving a lot away in the lyrics. I mean, I really am. I mean, I can hear it and I go, oh my goodness, I know. Because I was writing a memoir and I think that they're partly stories from that I turned into these things. Nothing really happened with the memoir, but I just found, I guess, a lot of the stories were quite humorous and would make good, songs or something. So, it's definitely a new thing. And I think it kind of coincides with just not giving a shit anymore, which is a really lovely, liberating feeling. And I would have been quite shocked 5-10 years ago if someone said, you know, this is what you're going to do in 10 years' time. I would have gone, oh, no, I'm not doing that. I mean, it even took me a while to I recorded some of these songs 2 or 3 years ago, so it's taken me that long to want to release them.
One thing I really appreciate you, Dan, appreciate about you and the way that you go after or hone your craft is the directions that you turn, they don't really fit anything that's going on in pop culture. It's not like, okay, well, this is happening. This is kind of the new trend. Let me morph into this and fit this pattern. It doesn't really speak to what other artists are doing that you want to be a part of. It's just, this is what I want to do, irregardless.
Mm. That's important to me.
And if people who follow your career, do people come up to you at shows who've been listening for, you know, going back several years to a Funeraria or some of the older records or way back to the EMI days? Do people tell you that they like that part where when new material comes out, they're never quite sure what it's going to be?
Yeah, plenty of people like the first two records, Broken Arrows, and that's nice. Always good to get a compliment or, you know, good to meet people. People are usually pretty supportive. If they don't like the new stuff, that's fine too. It's, you know, the artists that I really like have these massive careers with some real, you know, wayward turns. And I think they'd say the same thing, you know, you're certainly not beholden to your audience. I mean, in a live context, as I said, I would, you know, you got to remember you're there because of, you're playing live because of them. So they're the paying customer in a way. But, you know, yeah, you got to follow your own thing. So